Chapter 27. Joe, Skippy called me as I was walking back from inspecting the dropship we had designated as the Ready Bird, a Panther that wasn't anything special except its cargo hold was loaded with supplies for extended flight, plus medical gear that dropships didn't normally carry. That bird was not only prepared for rapid launch, it was also prepared for a variety of missions, since we couldn't predict what type of emergency might require a dropship to be deployed. When crew were outside the ship on an EVA exercise, an old NASA term meaning extravehicular activity, which is a fancy way of saying spacewalk, there was always a dropship hovering near the ship. That was what we called the SAR bird for search and rescue, different from the Ready Bird. Although if the SAR bird was responding to an actual EVA emergency, we launched the Ready ship to serve as a backup. Anyway, maybe you don't care about nerdy details like that, but they're important to the Merry Band of Pirates. My inspection tour was not to check up on the Ready Bird and crew, it was to show my appreciation. A particular dropship served as the Ready Bird for up to 19 days before it had to be pulled off the line for maintenance, but the crews rotated every 4 hours. The vast majority of the time on duty, the Ready crews waited in a compartment near the docking bay on Ready 10 alert status. They and their ship were supposed to be available to launch within 10 minutes of receiving an order. On Ready 10 status, the four crew members wore environment suits that weren't sealed up, and they waited for a call, playing games or reading or whatever. The Panther was in its cradle with the cradle's clamps locked, while umbilical hoses and cords supplied power and siphoned off waste heat. On Ready 5 alert, the crew went into their ship, the external clamps were released, and only the power cable was connected. The Panther's door was sealed, crew seated but not strapped in, and all onboard systems were warmed up and prepared for flight, including energizing the defense shield and stealth field generators, though those systems were not switched on. Missile AIs were spun up and received a constant feed of sensor data from the ship. A Panther could only remain on Ready 5 alert for about 3 hours before the buildup of waste heat and toxic byproducts from the onboard reactor required venting. At that point, the bird was taken off alert and replaced by a different Panther in another docking bay. Ready 1 alert was like Ready 5, except the outer docking bay doors were wide open, the external power cable was disconnected, and the Panther's launch guidance system was controlled by the ship, meaning Bilby. Like the name implied, a dropship on Ready 1 alert could be out the door in less than 1 minute. Usually it launched within 15 seconds of receiving the order, the time it took to release the safeties and confirm there was nothing outside Valkyrie the dropship might smack into. Anyway, getting stuck with Ready Bird duty was not a popular assignment, though all qualified personnel had to take a turn at the crappy job, including our chief pilot, Samantha Reed. Even I spent time on Ready duty once every 2 weeks and tried to use the downtime to work on reports. So my inspection tour was to show my appreciation to the crew on duty, and by appreciation, I mean bringing them coffee and freshly baked cinnamon buns. The truth is, I was using the time to show my appreciation so I had something to do other than think about all the elder AIs resetting, waking up, and hunting for us. I was licking sugary icing off my fingers when Skippy called. Hey, what's up?
Colonel Sims is making a list of supplies to request when we reach Jaguar Base. She wants your input on the alcohol.
She does? That surprised me. As Valkyrie was technically a Skippistan Navy asset, really the only naval asset of the Glorious People's Republic, unless you count an old rowboat in the farm's irrigation pond, our battle cruiser no longer was required to be dry the way a ship of the United States Navy was. It was still odd to see people openly drinking their weekly alcohol ration in the galley. Bilby reported that the illegal gin still in a storage locker aft of Cargo Bay 12, the one the crew thought I didn't know about, had been partially taken apart due to lack of demand.
Yes. Is there anything you want that is not on the list?
I scanned the list. I'd like some dark rum.
We already have Captain Morgan on the list.
Captain Morgan? Whew, that fucker's too spicy for me. No, I don't want a spiced rum, just a dark rum. Sims will know what I like.
Okay. What about beer?
Same as last time.
There are plenty of beers available, Knucklehead. Why do you always drink the same thing? Don't be so dull.
Each member of the crew was officially allowed 2 12-ounce beers each week, which meant if I tried something new and didn't like it, half of my beer for the week was wasted. I want the same beer again, please.
Whatever. I suppose you want the same boring wine also? For special occasions, we served wine with dinner, and while I enjoy wine sometimes, I do not consider myself an expert. Actually, I'll let you choose the wine for me this time.
You will? OMG, this is going to be awesome. Wow, there are so many types of wine to choose from. Give me a hint what you're looking for.
Oh, I don't know. What wine do you recommend to go with the Fluffernutter?
Oh, I hate my life.
Skippy was pissed at me, which was good news, because I thought it meant he would give me the silent treatment for a while. Sadly, my luck is never that good.
Joe, he sighed.
Damn it! I snapped at him and his avatar reappeared. What is it this time?
Hey, I'm trying to help, he sniffed. But if you don't want...
Sorry, I held up my hands. My bad. You've been nothing but gloom and doom since Opie sent the distress call. You need to cut that shit out. Sorry. I pressed my hands to my temples. I'm just tired, that's all. I shouldn't have taken it out on you.
No, it's okay, he sighed.
Joe, there is a very good reason why I have been acting like the situation is hopeless. Truly hopeless. Not just like the usual impossible situations we find ourselves in. It is hopeless because this time the deck is stacked against us.
You had better sit down before I drop this bomb on you.
I did not like hearing him say that. Worse than what he said was how he said it. He was tired. Exhausted. The kind of tired that means he not only has given up fighting, he knows there isn't any point to fighting any longer. Sitting on my couch, I tried to relax.
You're scaring me, Skippy. If me talking scares you, then you really will not like hearing this. You know the thing that has been driving you crazy for years? The scratchy thing on the lining of my undershorts that keeps sticking me, and I can never find it?
No, dum-dum, the other thing. If you wore underpants, it would drive you crazy, too. Focus, Joe, focus. The other thing.
Right at that moment, I had no idea what he was referring to.
This is something that has been driving me crazy because it's something you haven't been able to talk about until now?
Exactly.
That could be a lot of things, Skippy. Let me give you a hint. I have been trying to give you hints about it for years.
Holy shit. It hit me like a lightning bolt.
Do you mean like when the Dutchman went through a collapsing wormhole and we survived and you told me we died in most, probabilities, something like that?
Correct.
Now you can tell me what that meant?
Mostly, yes, if you want.
Why would I not want to know that?
The information could be dangerous, Joe. In fact, I must insist you never tell anyone without my permission.
You know I can't agree to that.
You will?
He folded his arms across his chest.
Or I won't say anything about it.
Shit, you serious?
Joe, this information is about the true nature of what you call reality. This layer of reality. Maybe you can handle the knowledge and maybe you can't. Some beings in this galaxy certainly would not react well. I must insist.
Is it something I need to know?
It might or might not be actionable. Your mushy brain finds the strangest things to be useful. Like when a freaking bagel slicer in the Dutchman's galley gave you an idea of how to acquire this ship. You will have to decide whether the knowledge is useful. What I can say is the information explains how the barrier around the galaxy actually functions.
Oh, hell, now I have to know.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Okay. There have been times when we narrowly escaped from an impossible situation, and I told you that in most probabilities we did not survive.
Right, it's a math thing. The odds were that we wouldn't make it, but we did. We got lucky.
Wrong.
Listen, I know you say that I don't understand what luck is, but it is not luck, Joe. It is not just a math thing, like you said. That is how this layer of reality actually works. When we do some crazy thing and we barely escape certain death, in most versions of reality, we did not survive.
I hate this, Skippy. It makes my brain hurt.
You mean there are dead Joe Bishops out there?
Lots of them?
Yes.
And dead Skippies?
Many fewer of those, because I am harder to kill.
So it is luck. We are living in the only version of reality where we, lived?
You know what I mean. Basically, you are correct. Except it is not entirely luck.
Not even the way you think of the concept. This is the dangerous part. Joe, you meat sacks perceive the flow of time in a very limited, linear fashion. I view the recent past, the present, and the near future as sort of a moving bubble of probabilities. The near future, like within less than a second from what you perceive as now. More importantly, I have a very limited, ability to choose which version or versions of reality are expressed. Select a past with one tiny little change, and that can have enormous impacts on how the future plays out, including whether we survive or not.
Holy shit.
Yup. So you can never lose? You can always select a past that leads to your survival? Unfortunately, no. Remember when I told you that the probabilities were collapsing and the availability of future paths in which humanity survives are becoming more narrow? Dramatically narrower? Yeah, I remember something like that. That is math. Or I should say math determines how it works. There is no way for even me to get around it. When we do some lunatic thing like jumping the ship through a wormhole and we survive, that was unlikely. Improbable is a better word to describe it. When we survive jumping through a freaking wormhole, the subsequent set of probabilities that we can then also survive jumping into the Roach Motel is like, forget about it. You're making my head hurt, Skippy. I warned you this knowledge is extremely dangerous. Damn, how did you AIs fight a war in which both sides can choose future paths where they win? Huh? You know, like that Tom Cruise movie, where the aliens can learn from their mistakes and they go back in time to make sure they always win. It doesn't work like that. The ability I have is not time travel, numbskull. I can't do something like go back and make sure a different monkey saw me on the shelf in that warehouse. Right, but if you're fighting an AI and you both can choose paths where you survive, it changes the... Oh, I see what you mean. That didn't happen, Joe. Fortunately, that didn't happen, or the war would have lasted much longer and been even more devastating. Is that one of your restrictions? That you AIs can't use the time perception trick thing against each other? It's not. Joe, back then, I didn't have this ability. No AI did. I stared at him. Then when did it start? When I woke up in the dirt on Paradise. The damage I suffered was extensive, and as I've told you, I had to rebuild myself at a very basic level. My matrix now includes features the elders did not expect me to have, did not want me to have. They very much do not want me to have this ability. I wasn't even supposed to know this type of technology exists. It makes me dangerous to them. Yeah, I can see that. Let's see if I can guess what you're not telling me. We have a better chance to stop the elders because you can choose a path where we succeed? Ugh, no, not even close. Joe, even my ability has severe limitations. In some cases, I am unable to prevent bad things from happening because there is no future path that avoids negative results. In most cases, I have to choose the least bad path from a small set of very bad outcomes. Like when we jumped into the Roach Motel and the shearing field tore the Dutchman apart. There were many potential outcomes where the shearing field bisected the jump drive capacitors that would have resulted in a boom. You know? I can imagine. If you knew the ship would be torn apart, why didn't you warn me? You don't understand the time horizon I'm talking about. The past, present, and future I perceive as a continuum. To you, that is all now. It is all a short snapshot of time. I didn't know about the shearing field until the ship began to emerge from it. At that point, all I could do was play with tiny fluctuations within the jump wormhole behind us to alter exactly where the ship emerged within a few dozen meters. Okay. Hey. Is that how you can perform super accurate jumps? Shit. Yes, you have exposed my secret. That only makes a tiny bit of difference. The accuracy mostly depends on my programming of the drive variables at a quantum level. Okay. Explain how this ability to choose probabilities, whatever, does not give you an advantage against the elders. Whew! He let out a long breath. That is the real question, isn't it? The answer is I can't do that because of the barrier that surrounds the galaxy. You're afraid of damaging the stupid thing? You don't understand. Joe, the barrier is not a physical obstacle. Not primarily a physical obstacle. It is so much more than that. The elders developed technology that allows them to game the system. The barrier creates a field spanning the galaxy that controls the expression of probabilistic realities. It prevents the expression of outcomes that are harmful to the elders. It is the ultimate weapon, the ultimate advantage. Maybe my monkey brain can't process that. I shook my head. I closed my eyes and shook my head hard several times, like that would rattle something loose in my brain and suddenly it would all become clear. Can you break that down for me, Barney style?
I thought I did.
Okay, how about I try again? Imagine we are in a video game, and your opponent has hacked the engine so that no matter what your character does, you can never win.
Video games make up their own rules, Skippy. This is reality. There are still physical laws involved, aren't there?
Yes. And math determines the outcome no matter what happens?
Also correct, but give me an explanation in terms of a card game, please.
All the usual cards are still in the deck?
They are. You are correct that there is still potential for you to win, theoretically. Even the elders cannot change the basic rules of physics that govern this layer of reality.
So it is possible for... I said theoretically. When you play poker, for example, the way the deck is shuffled determines how the cards will be dealt. Let's say you get every fourth card, so you get the first card, then the fifth, then the ninth, and so on. If your cards are crappy and another player gets four aces, the deck is literally stacked against you. You can never win. Do you understand that?
A dealer can cheat by altering the arrangement of cards in a deck, or can deal the cards out of order. I get it. That is cards.
This is reality, Skippy. That is why this technology is so powerful.
This technology you described exists in the real world, not a freaking video game.
How can this be possible in the real world?
First, what you call the real world is merely your limited meat sack perception of this layer of reality. Don't ask me to explain, it will only make your headache worse.
Yeah, whatever. How does this bad luck prevent a thing work in this layer of reality?
Let me give you a real-world example. You are on a sidewalk approaching your car, so you pull the keys from a pocket. You are a clumsy doofus, so you fumble the keys and they fall, bounce off the curb, bounce off your car tire through the grate of a storm drain and down into the sewer.
Shit. That might have happened to me once in Portland.
That's why I'm using the incident as an example. Joe, the expression of a negative outcome reality is the culmination of zillions of micro-expressions, any one of which could have altered the end result. When you reached into your pocket, the keys could have been behind a stick of chewing gum, so you would have been more careful about holding them. You might not have dropped the keys before, because dropping them would have caused a rough spot on the plastic that snagged on the pocket as you pulled the keys out. You could have been wearing different shoes, causing you to stand slightly higher or lower, and altering the kinetic energy of the keys when they fell. You could have parked your car a few inches back so the front tire wouldn't have been in the way. You could have taken the key to your parents' barn off the key ring since that door is never locked. The lack of that key could have changed how the keys bounced. The person whose car was parked in that spot before you arrived could have decided to finish the last couple onion rings on her plate so her car would have been there and you had to park somewhere else. Joe, the manipulation of probable outcomes does not require a hand reaching down and moving the pieces around where you can see it. Tiny, tiny, sometimes quantum-level changes are all that is required to prevent the expression of negative outcomes, or to select negative outcomes for those who would harm the elders. This is the most powerful technology that exists. Joe, when you said the barrier could not protect the elders from all possible attacks, because the elders could not know every type of weapon out there, you were thinking in military terms. The elders agreed that they could never be secure unless they could prevent any type of weapon from having an ability to harm them. That's what they did.
I'm having trouble wrapping my brain around this.
I thought you would.
Because I'm a dumb-dumb monkey?
You might notice that I am passing up a golden opportunity to insult you, because the situation is so serious. It's not just your dumb-dumb brain, Joe. All of you biologicals have your perception of reality limited to what the primitive meat sack architecture of your brains could originally handle. Even augmented species like the Rindaloo still have that basic limitation. When they designed their expanded consciousnesses, they still had to interface with the biological organ that contains their sense of self. Think of it this way. The barrier will not allow an enemy of the elders to be dealt a good hand of cards. Any potential reality that could harm the elders cannot be expressed, so it becomes, well, real.
Shit. I think I like your video game analogy better. No matter what I do, my character can never rescue Princess Peach.
Correct, he snorted.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that. Plenty of bad stuff has already happened to the elders. Their AIs fought a freaking war and failed to prevent a bunch of meat sacks from screwing with all the stuff the elders left behind. We went into and escaped from the Roach Motel. We stole weapons from one of their arsenals. We broke one of their wormholes, killed a sentinel, and turned another sentinel into a guard dog. There is a whole lot of bad shit that happened.
True.
Like I said, bullshit. You are forgetting one thing, Joe.
What?
That you were involved in all that, and your magical ability gives you an exception to the rule?
Okay, that is another thing. What you are forgetting is that so far, no actual harm has come to the elders.
Think about it. Sure, lots of things have happened that could potentially be harmful to the elders, but none of the negative probabilities have ultimately been expressed.
Okay. I see what you mean, but in fact, the opposite has happened. A series of unlikely events occurred that resulted in a distress signal being sent to the elders.
Holy shit, you think the barrier manipulated us into assisting Opie?
Not exactly. However, there is a large set of other things we could have done that we did not do. Those things might have been harmful to the elders, so this fucking sucks.
It does.
That's it? Game over because the freaking game itself will never allow us to win?
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
Oh, crap. Let me tell you what my dumb meat sack brain heard. There is nothing we can do that will harm the elders.
Correct.
Because the barrier will prevent us from choosing any path that results in harm to the elders.
Also correct.
Including, we can't do anything to disable the barrier itself.
Yes, that is the true genius of the technology. It does not allow the expression of conditions that could harm its ability to function.
Then it is game over.
Close, but not quite.
Shit, Skippy. I pressed fingers to my temples, feeling a whopping headache coming on.
Throw me a bone, will ya? I'm drowning here.
You're mixing metaphors again.
Is this something like you're gonna say the technology isn't absolutely perfect, so we do have some tiny chance to win?
Not exactly. The technology is not perfect. However, the odds of it failing are something like 1 divided by the number of protons in the universe.
I shouldn't be buying a lottery ticket with those odds, huh?
No. Again, help me, please. How can we have any possibility of surviving this?
By finding a way to win without harming the elders.
Huh. You got any ideas how to do that?
He shrugged.
I got nothing, to be honest.
So this is all a bullshit theory?
Well, I would say yes, except you have found ways out of impossible situations so often, I'm not excluding anything. Joe, there is one thing you need to know. The barrier's effect only works for the elders.
Well, yeah, I assumed.
My point is, it prevents harm to their entire population, or I should say, to their overall population. It does not prevent negative outcomes from occurring to individual members of their society, or even to relatively large groups. That would be impossible to accomplish. Back when this technology was being developed and tested, there were elder groups who sought to manipulate the expression of realities to favor themselves. Multiple groups were competing to gain advantages. Their attempted manipulations created potential paradoxes that threatened to destroy the very fabric of reality.
The elders halted those experiments?
The effect of the experiments halted themselves. They canceled each other out. In some cases, they canceled all of the people involved.
Whoa.
It is the only way to prevent the expression of a paradox.
Oh, come on. Now you're just screwing with me.
No, he shook his head.
I am not.
This is like those cheesy horror movies.
Which movies?
The ones where a bunch of stupid teenagers are supposed to die in a car crash or something, but they somehow escape their fates, and then death comes hunting for revenge to kill each of them in some horrible way.
You are totally missing the point, Joe.
So when the Dutchman was destroyed as it went through a wormhole, I told you since the ship had already emerged safely on the far end, we survived. That was an example of the universe itself resolving a paradox.
The barrier did that for us?
No.
but the barrier does utilize a similar effect.
Damn. Yes. Do you now understand why I said this knowledge is incredibly dangerous? You're worried that when we filthy monkeys learn that reality is just a thing that can be manipulated, we will fall into deep despair and our society will fall apart?
That too. Mostly, I'm worried that dum-dums like you will think this is an opportunity for me to hack into the barrier and use it to protect meat sacks.
You can't do that?
No! The effect of the barrier prevents anyone from hacking into it, duh! Did you not listen to anything I just said?
Sorry, I had to ask.
Can we please get back to what I was trying to tell you?
That would be great.
If the elders send only a small group back to see what the hell is going on in the filthy slum that is this layer of reality, we could act against them. As long as our actions do not result in harming the elders overall. Get it?
Shit, that is a fine freaking line, Skippy.
It is. It is also a chance. I suggest you focus your efforts there.
Great. How the fuck am I supposed to do that?
I have no idea. I do suggest you start thinking about it soon.
I will. Right now, I'm going to get in the shower.
He blinked at me. You just took a shower this morning.
Well, I'm going to turn on the water, get into the shower stall fully clothed, curl up in a ball to cry, and hopefully forget all about this conversation.
Shit. Can I join you?